Plakas joins us once again. Plakas, how are you?
Jason, doing fantastic like usual.
Nice. All right. Today I want to get into stable feet resistance training versus unstable feet moving resistance training. I guess let's first of all describe what is stable feet planted resistance training.
Yeah, so that's basically your typical weight training that most people do, where their feet are planted, they're not really moving around, and with their in different directions, and they're staying in one position while lifting a weight. So, for example, they're doing a squat, their feet aren't moving, they're really planted onto the ground. They're doing a deadlift, their feet are planted on the ground. If they're doing a shoulder press, feet are planted, bent over row, their feet aren't moving, and they're just lifting weights to train various muscles and joints in their body. So that's the traditional one. So the one where people generally don't focus on as much is where they do resistance training, but their feet are now moving in different directions with speed and with load. So, for example, one would be like a sled push. So you've got a bunch of weight, and you're like driving that weight, pushing it across a certain distance as fast as you can run. Or the opposite, where you're maybe pulling a weight of some kind, or somebody's got a resistance tube around your waist, and you're sprinting as fast as you can. You're trying to pull that person. In hockey, you may see something like a parachute behind somebody where they're skating and adding resistance through the air.
Is it better to do one over the other?
No, actually, it's good to do both, and there's pros and cons of each one. So the one where you're more stable and your feet are planted. When you're more stable and planted into the ground, you can then use a lot more load and resistance, okay? So if your feet are firmly on the ground and you got a barbell on your back, that's when you can really load up that barbell with a lot of weight and then put that resistance on your spine, on your hips, on your knees, and then develop all the musculature around that, those areas. So that it's good that way. So if your goal is to get stronger, being stable is a good idea because then you can move more load. So the further you get that load away from the midline of your body and the more complex the movement or the more movement with your feet, then you've got to sacrifice load. Okay, so you can't use as much load, say, for example, if you're doing an overhead squat where you're holding the bar above your shoulders, or if you're doing a one-legged squat, or if you're doing a lunge variation where you're basically, you're kind of like a version of a squat, but doing it with movement of your legs and forward, sideways, or backwards, multi-directions, that kind of thing. So there you have to sacrifice load. So the sacrifice of the load, you might get less strength and tension on the muscles, but now you're basically putting tension and torque at different angles to the muscles like they would experience in real life activity and sports. So both is good.
Okay, so the doing it when you have the reactive movements under load, that's not that it's mirroring the game, but it can, your body has to get used to and comfortable to being off balance, like especially in hockey, right, where you're rarely on 2 feet, like rarely, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, there's some traditionalists where they say, okay, don't worry about doing unstable work or one-legged work, that kind of stuff. Like, focus on getting strong and then practice your sport. But I like to do both. I like to focus on getting strong in a stable position, but also getting strong in an unstable position in the weight room as well. You should do both. I wouldn't sacrifice one for the other because there's advantages to each one. And as you know, with your training, you've done some of those one-legged movements where you need to do stability and you've got load as well. You get much different feeling and tension and torsion of the muscles from different angles than you would in a traditional squat. So the feeling is different, and I think people should definitely do both because you want that tension and torque coming from different angles on the joints and knees and hips because that's what you're going to experience in real life. So try to do some of that in the weight room too.
Now, can you do that for like biceps, triceps, and chest as well? Can you do kind of reactive movements under load?
Yeah, mostly the reactive movement, it's mostly beneficial for the larger muscle groups, especially in the trunk and the hips.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are really going to drive you and allow you to explode in a sport or move with rotation and some twisting and bending actions. That's where all the power is really going to come from your body, is from the trunk and the hips of your body and through your legs. If you're doing bicep and tricep work, that's more bodybuilding stuff. Like, I would just stick to just traditional good heavy loaded movements. You can try variations of different angles if you want just for something different to do. But for sport development and then I call it a little bit of more horizontal training where you're getting tension, I guess instead of up and down tension, you're getting vertical tension in your body. So you're going to experience a lot of that in sports where people are pushing against you and you got to push back. So your feet need to be into the ground or on an ice on skates, but you need to drive forward with your hips and with your arms and your shoulders, as well as absorb hits and take hits, that kind of thing, and then react to it and bounce and then react to some tension, then move away from that tension to another part of a play. So all that should be kind of fit into your workouts if you want to be sort of a complete overall athlete.
Paul Black is from Custom Fit joins us. Go to customfit.ca. They'll set up a program for you. Now, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, in the trunk, and that's probably the area because, you know, a lot of us, you know, you look at it from a vanity perspective and, you know, sure, your upper body is going to look great and, you know, it takes way more work to make your lower body look great because they're bigger muscles and you just need more on it. But the trunk itself, Paul, that twisting and turning and in pretty much any sport to be successful, you've got to have great range of motion in that area and great strength.
Yeah, you certainly do. And it's really a connection of the legs, the hips, and the trunk, and then through your upper body that you really want to develop a good distribution of workload. So you want to become, first of all, efficient at whatever you're doing. So if you're taking a slap shot, yeah, just standing still with your feet and then trying to rotate and hit the puck, it's not going to be that efficient. So you want to get your legs into it. You want to get your hips into it, and there's a certain technique to it. But also you want those muscles to all be strong in relation to another and not have any weak points, so you avoid injury, and then you're also distributing workload evenly. So getting everything kind of working together is good. But also, before you start doing that, you want to definitely build the strength in the base through each joint so that you have a good foundation. So that's why it's good to do that heavy lifting in a nice stable position so you get good strength development. And then once you've mastered that and got a good base, then start trying some stuff off of one leg and getting the tension from just instead of straight up and down from different angles of your body. So a good trainer will be able to know, okay, this is what you can do, and you develop a good foundation. Now let's take it to the next level, make it a little bit more complex, and get the tension coming again from different angles on your body relative to whatever activity and sport you're trying to do.
One final one for you on, you know, because I really like this, like plyometrics. I'm assuming would go into the unstable feet moving resistance training, and you know, like what about even as simple as doing, you know, instead of just going, you know, on two legs for a squat, Paul, if you obviously have to lower the weight, of course, but doing one-legged stuff, is that closer to the uneven moving resistance, or is it just a completely different thing?
Yeah, the one-legged stuff is definitely more unstable for sure. Plus, it's also more complex to do. So the neural patterns that your body's going to fire from your brain through your spinal cord into your muscle groups is going to be definitely different than just doing it off of two legs. So you get that neural efficiency going on. You might also help improve weaknesses from one side of your body to another. So you may have one side that's more dominant, and then you tend to be more dominant with that one side, and the weak side is kind of holding you back. So one-legged stuff can help identify, hey, do I have a stronger right hip compared to my left hip? Am I more unstable here than there? And then training them separately like that can help even things out. And then when you got everything planted on the ground evenly, you'll have, again, maybe more force production. But you definitely want to build the strength first, and then be more unstable, make the movements more complex. And then, eventually you want to get into some good plyometrics where you get that reactive stuff where you load that body like a slingshot, and then with the ground reaction force, you just sort of unleash that power through your legs, hips, trunk, and arms to do some sort of explosive movement. So that's where you want to build it up to, and you want to do plyometrics with load eventually. So you can do stuff with just body weight, but then when you can add external resistance like tubing and dumbbells, weighted vests as well, and do it that way. And then, you know, that's an incredible workout. You just got to make sure you built that strength foundation first and then get to there. And then whatever sport you're doing, you're going to be like maybe a step better than the average person out there.
Yeah, 20-pound vest. I worked out a few times with it. I was amazed how much of a difference and how much harder it was. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah, because you 20 pounds, right? But no, when you're all of a sudden got to move that 20 pounds all the time, huge difference.
And the theory is when you take that weight off, everything should feel, you know, lighter, and you can definitely move a lighter object with more velocity than a heavier object.
Paul, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Bye-bye.